the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
When Jesus repeats some of the scripture in the Old Testament, you realize how valuable and important it is. And in Isaiah 61, we'll find that out today. This is Bert Harper along with Dylan Burrus. Alex is out and about today. And Dylan, thank you for being on today and welcome to Exploring the Word, brother.
Of course. Always glad to be with you, Bert. And always miss Alex when he's gone, but I know he's doing some great ministry elsewhere. And we will enjoy Isaiah 61 without him today with our listeners. So looking forward to that as well as some prayer, it sounds like today.
Yes, today is a day of prayer. And we'll open up the phones around 3:30, get it lined up. And yesterday, Dylan, we had a special day. People called in to pray about the situation there in Israel and Iran and all around, and praying that God would just be glorified and that Iran would be opened up to what God would want them to be, and so many believers in Iran. So today, if you want to pray for that, those of you that are calling, we'd love for you to do that as well, another prayer request. And so we're looking forward to that. But before then, we're going to jump in, as Dylan said, in Isaiah chapter 61. Again, Jesus repeats this. He takes it and makes it personal in Luke chapter 4. Dylan, when Jesus does that, you know, it just puts emphasis more so than you could ever believe on both of those passages. We know that when Jesus is on the cross, when he would utter the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? It just lets us know of this connection between the prophetic word of God and the reality of the word of God taking place. And I find that in Isaiah 61 to be the truth.
Oh, of course. And Isaiah 61 is famous as well because Jesus quotes it when he speaks in synagogue at Nazareth in the New Testament. We see that in the gospel account in Luke 4, where he is given the scroll of Isaiah. He opens it up just to that passage, reads it. And then, of course, the people in his own hometown are questioning his authority. Where did he get those things? But one thing that stands out to me as we start this, the very first verse, people don't usually realize this, is this shows all three parts of the Trinity, or all three persons of the Trinity. Because in the very first verse, you have the Spirit, the sovereign Lord, and it's the Messiah speaking, who we would later find out is Jesus. So even in the Old Testament, we see these portrayals of the triune Godhead, and Isaiah 61 is one of the clearest ones in its very first verse.
And one of the things that happens is not just what he says, but what he does not say. And I'm going to go there first, and then we'll come back the first part of it. He does not utter the words, and the day of vengeance of our God. You don't find that in the book of Luke, because Jesus is saying, hey, this is fulfilled in your ears today. And he only read what was fulfilled in that day and left off the vengeance that's going to come in one day in justice. And so it's not just he would say, okay, I'm going to quote this. No, it was a fulfillment, bringing the purpose to it. And so that you have this picture of who Jesus Christ is, then he came to seek and save those who were lost. And as you said, verse 1, he starts out, and I love that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Now, Isaiah is saying that. I believe Isaiah, it wasn't him saying, okay, I got to say this so Jesus can say it 750 years later. You know, no, Isaiah at this point in his life, this is one of those, it's got a dual purpose. It is Isaiah. Isaiah was preparing the way for the Lord, for the Israelites. They were going to return. But the ultimate return is when Jesus Christ comes in and he sets up his kingdom. So, you know, Dylan, when I see these passages like this, they thrill me. I just want to know, because no matter when the word of God was spoken, it was relevant then as it would be in the future as well. Isn't that an awesome thought, and how God works in that way?
It's so true. And sometimes people look at the book of Isaiah and they're often confused because it talks about different parts of Bible prophecy, some that was fulfilled during the time of Jesus, some that is yet to come. But when you look at it and break it down, it is so encouraging to see these predictions that are talking about the Messiah that were already fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and gives us confidence that the other predictions that are prophesied in the book of Isaiah will one day come true as well. And that includes on the negative side, the day of vengeance that you talked about there in verse 2, but also the new heavens and the new earth, where all of those who believe in the Lord will be with him forever. So it's a word of comfort, like it says in verse 2, to all who mourn. And it's also a warning to those who have yet to believe, to be prepared, and for all of us, of course, to share the gospel with everyone at every opportunity that we get.
And the Lord has anointed me. This shares two or three different things. One is, yes, the power of God upon them, but also anointed me with purpose. One of the most significant things happens at salvation. Yes, God delivers us from sin, the power of sin, not from the presence yet, but from the power. We can follow him. But it's also, he gives us purpose. And I would say this, Dylan, when I was a young person, I was saved at 12 years old. Our church and our young people, especially in our Sunday night small group meeting young people, we're always talking about the will of God for our lives, which is good. But after I learned out God's purpose for every believer is to glorify him, and then specifically he may have some specificness of his will for, it could be occupation, whatever it could be, a location. But here, that purpose, Jesus, he said, this is for the reason I was born. Jesus came for that reason. But we're born again with purpose, aren't we?
We are. And Isaiah speaks about that elsewhere. We know the passage in Isaiah 6 where he says, here am I, send me, where this idea of purpose and God's calling that he had in his own life as a prophet of the Lord. But we have that too, just like you mentioned, that when we are saved, we are forgiven of our sins. We are given a new purpose. We are given a new life. And everything changes and all is made new. We are a new creation, the scriptures tell us in the New Testament. So when we look at this passage, we see things like verse 3 that talks about a crown of beauty instead of ashes, or the oil of joy instead of mourning, depending on your version. It says a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So Jesus is replacing the old and bringing something new, which is a theme you see again and again in scripture. Out with the old and with the new. We're a new creation, a new beginning with a fresh start in the Lord. And that's a comfort for all of us, whether you've come to Christ as a young person like you did, or as I did, or those who've come to Christ later on. There's this joy that we have in starting over and having all of our sins erased and beginning again with the Lord.
Well, this whole section here is about new beginnings, because notice the word in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, a specific year. There's no doubt in my mind he is thinking of the year of Jubilee that we find out about in Leviticus chapter 25, when it talks about after 49 years, 7 years of seven Sabbaths, and the 50th year, a Jubilee, when so many things were happening, what would happen? It would be the brokenhearted tidings to the poor, because they're going to have some things to start over, restored. It says the liberty of the captives and opening of the prisons again. Now, as believers, we're living in that. That's what's happened. That's why Jesus said this is fulfilled in your life today, your heart today, because Jesus has come to set the captives free. We're the captives to sin. But when you see that year, acceptable year of the Lord, and you think about the year of Jubilee, Leviticus 25:7 says something like this. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return for his possession, and each of you shall return to his family. Again, when you find that in Leviticus, and then Isaiah referencing that, I believe, here in Isaiah 61, and then Jesus in Luke chapter 4, again sharing that. Listen, The great day, the year of Jubilee, when Jesus says, hey, I'm going to give you a new beginning. Yeah, the last 49 years, some of you have messed up. The last 7 years, you've gone into indentured servanthood. You've lost your land. But I'm here to return, restore, renew. This is a powerful passage, isn't it, Dylan?
Oh, it is. And I love the idea of Jubilee that you bring out, because that's a time of celebration. And we seem to forget that as believers. After you've believed in Jesus for many years, sometimes that initial fire or passion dwindles some. But if you look at verse 7, it contrasts your shame, and instead you'll have double honor, or some translations will talk about it as a double portion. Whereas the first son, we get a double inheritance from the father. We go from shame to having a double blessing. So we have that as a reminder. And instead of confusion, they will receive in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double everlasting joy shall be there. So it's multiple layers here, everlasting joy that we see even in the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1, where he talks about this inexpressible and glorious joy, the salvation of your souls is something that we rejoice in. And when we're reminded of it, it's kind of like in Revelation, where it talks about this lukewarmness in the church of Laodicea, I believe it is. And when Jesus talks to them, he condemns that and says, I'd rather you be hot or cold. And it's a strong reminder that if we're followers of Christ, we're not called to just get by. We're called to thrive and to rejoice in what God has given us and to move forward in faith and to share that faith with others around us.
Praise the Lord for what he has done, is doing. One more thing before we get out of the first section that really caught my attention, and it is the phrase, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Where does that fit in? Notice the poor, of course, we know that. Captives, that's easy. The prisoners, but here, the brokenhearted. Usually, brokenheartedness comes from unhealed, broken relationships, comes from, unmet expectations, you know. So here it is. We can never arrive and have, the abundant life. But Jesus came to do what? Give us an abundant life. Now, again, that doesn't always mean easy. That's not what the reference is. But it's full and it's abundant. And what happens a lot of times in broken relationship, what happens in unmet expectations? We're brokenhearted, we're downcast, we're depressed. And what does he do? He heals the brokenhearted. Dylan, I think if we had to look at a lot of believers, they've gone through some difficulties and hardship, even here in America with relationships, besides all the things that's taken in the world. But this one, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. God's interested in the whole man, isn't he?
Yes, he is. And I like in the Hebrew of this text, it's not just healing, but it's more literally to bind up the brokenhearted. Yep. Yeah. So it's bringing this wound and patching it up and putting it back together. So Jesus is intimately involved in our healing. It's not just a presto magic, push a button. It's very much involved as our, great physician, the Bible says elsewhere. And we look to him for our healing, but also for his personal leadership every moment of the way to keep us going in our walk with the Lord. So it's a special way to look at it here in Isaiah 61.
It is, and we're coming up on the last 30 seconds, but you've already mentioned it, but I want to bring it to you. Mourning and joy. Notice how those contrast one another. We're in mourning, but he brings that everlasting joy that only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, this is Bert Harper, Dylan Burrus, and we're going to be back, and we're going to continue in chapter 61 of the great book of Isaiah. This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there's a light that shines, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life will be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper, asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought.
Amen. Love that song. I think it's one of the greatest songs ever written. And I do believe in the last 30 years, it's way up there. But anyway, thank you, Brent, for the songs you choose. Dylan, we have something coming up here in Tupelo, Mississippi in July. Now, this is March the 2nd, but July will be here. And it's going to be July the 16th through the 18th this year. It's going to be here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And it's the Activate Summit 2026. The theme is Roots to Fruit. And we want to be grounded in the Word and growing in grace. This is what you hear a lot on Exploring the Word, truth and grace side by side. And that's what the theme of it is this year. And again, you can register now by going to afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit, and you can find out all about it. And so we're going to be there. Matter of fact, Dylan, Dr. Jeff Shreve will be preaching. Just a great, he's on twice a day because it has his hour-long program and then later on the 30-minute program where he's preaching. And Dr. Nurse Mama, Dr. Jessica Peck, she's going to be speaking, and I am as well. And I'm looking forward to that, visiting with people, knowing, getting to know them, July the 16th, 17th, and 18th. And so we want you to register as soon as you can. And last year, it was a full house. Had to stop registering people because it was full. So I think it's a safe thing for you to start now. But Dylan, we're really looking forward to that, brother.
Well, it sounds great. And you have quite the lineup, yourself included there. And I know the special pricing is only until April 30th. So don't wait until the last minute if you're going to be part of that, and make plans to be there now. I know you'll be blessed by it. So Activate Summit 2026 at afa.net/summit.
And one more thing I forgot to add, an addendum. Kids from 6 to 12, they got their own special lineup. And so there'll be people there that will lead them and to help them to understand family, truth, and grace. So be a part of that, and I hope to see you there. Well, Dylan, as we continue in Isaiah 61, again, the last thing I shared was, you know, you brought out the mourning, and then you brought out the joy. You know, isn't that life?
So much. Yeah, you get the highs and the lows, and they're all talked about here in Isaiah 61. But he emphasizes the spiritual highs and lows that we face in life, which are often left unseen or unspoken, but are very deep in our souls. And you think of everything from what soldiers deal with, like what we're seeing now with armed forces personnel in the Middle East on high alert and their current operation. You see that with our law enforcement officers and what they deal with. You see it with people in ministry. You see it with teachers and nurses, those who work in the medical profession. So many people who are walking around carrying this heavy burden. And not necessarily sin. It's just necessarily that it's, and oftentimes just the heavy issues of life that people deal with. And this passage reminds us of how God is there for us. He heals up our wounds. He binds up our broken hearts, and he's there for us every step of the way. I think that's why one of my favorite passages in the New Testament is at the very end of Matthew, where he's about to ascend to heaven and gives the Great Commission to his apostles. He says, "And I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." And that promise that he is always with us is so comforting, that you're never alone, no matter how low things are in your life. That's a good promise.
It's a great promise. I agree with you. You know, I preach and I really love to see the power of God fall down. But something that always precedes his power is his presence. You know,
yes.
Now the power comes along with his presence, but they're not always displayed, you know? And so that I agree with you. That promise, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I am what? With you, Emmanuel, God with us. And listen, that means so much. And those of you that have experienced this, who are listening, you know that. You know what it is to go through that deep, deep valley. And yet, he is deeper still. He holds us up. He lifts us up on eagle's wings. And he takes us through the fire and the water and the flood. He is there. One more thing about this joy that you see, it's an everlasting joy. You know, so many parents say, well, I just want my children to be happy. Now, I admit that. I'd like that. But more important is having the joy of the Lord. And that children's song, well, I'm an adult and I sing it, but the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so that strength really does come from that relationship, knowing it and what he brings in. Two things that go together, see, and I'd love for you to comment, Dylan, peace and joy. They're just, I don't know how to say it. They run close to parallel, don't they?
Yeah. Well, peace, I think of it as more an inward peace, and then the joy is your outward expression of peace. And that may not be the exact way to define them, but for me, that's how I've always viewed it, is God gives us peace, and that expresses itself in the joy that we see in our life. And that's such a good reminder you gave, though, also about our children, that oftentimes we focus so much on their grade point average or how they're doing in sports, or is your room clean or your chores done, the things that are external, which are important, but the most important thing is, are they walking with the Lord? Do they know God? Is he first place in their lives? And guess what? That doesn't end when you grow up. You know, we think about our careers, we think about all the external things in this life, but what is most important? Well, when it's all said and done, it's going to be whether we hear the Lord say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So it's a reminder for me, it's a reminder for all of us, that what matters most is what God thinks of our lives, and if we're focusing our heart truly on him.
Amen. Well said. Verse 8 brings us into a contrast very quickly, and that is, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery. For burnt offering, I will direct their work in truth." Now, again, notice the contrast here in chapter 61. And when you read verses 1 all the way through 3, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Then all of a sudden, the pronoun changes to plural, especially in verse 4, they, and it continues on. But now in verse 8, "For I, the Lord, love justice, I hate robbery." Again, going back to his ministry and what he does to begin with, what he is actively doing influences us. But here the Lord says, "I love justice." Sometimes I think in the New Testament, see if you may disagree on this, Dylan, there's not as much emphasis on justice as there is in the Old Testament. That doesn't mean God's not interested in it, because, man, when you read the book of Amos, you find out very quickly God wants justice, you know. So why? I believe when the Holy Spirit of God comes into a person's life as the indwelling Spirit of God, there's a, you know, justice is desired for that. Just like in Iran right now. Again, I know all the reasons that we are doing what we're doing, Israel, the United States is doing. And I said Sunday, they are just wars. And I believe this is one of them. That's my personal opinion. But the benefit of that, possibly, and that's one of my prayers, is that all those believers that in Iran, that they can be set free to worship and to share. And I'm praying it be a missional purpose around not only the world, but in that Middle East area. And so here it is. He loves justice. We need to love justice as well, don't we, Dylan?
Yes, and there's a danger there because they're the social justice warriors of today that we see as progressive or politically liberal that we don't want to be associated with. But there's also biblical justice, which we are called to do. We can't ignore it. We're supposed to be the ones who model it. So when we look at prophecies like what we see in Isaiah and Amos and other places, justice is an attribute that God's people are supposed to live out, not so much in bringing vengeance to situations, because the Bible tells us to leave room for God's wrath. He will repay, but we are told to exhibit justice and to do the things that we see here. We see where we're told about Jesus, who's helping the poor, who's helping the sick, helping the prisoners. And Matthew 25 talks about the same thing. Those are the things we can contribute to bring justice about in our time and in our culture today, wherever we live.
Amen. Let me give you this. Our phone lines are open because we want to give you time for your prayer request. And that number, if you want to call today a prayer request, or you may do what we did yesterday, offer a short prayer for what God is wanting and desiring to do in Israel. That's what we're praying, that God would direct and that Iranians would be set free and to be all that and success in the presentation of it all. That number is 888-589-8840. The lines are open for your prayer request or for your prayers. One more thing, and I know we need to get to chapter 10 and 11, but notice what's in two words. It's in verse 8. I've already mentioned justice. Justice and truth. You start with truth. That's the whole idea. And you're talking about this justice that the wokeness is trying to present these days. Why is it not real justice? Because it's not based upon truth. When you base things, truth is the bottom. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way and life is hooked together with what? Truth. Truth brings the way. Truth brings real life to us. And so here, justice and truth. So that's what you want to look through the lens of. The biblical worldview is that through truth. And that's why so many, even in churches today, more liberal, moderate, progressive, whatever you want to call them, and they're justifying some of the lifestyles that God says, no, it's sin, it's wrong, it's harmful, it's not right. They twist, and because they won't not, they do not base it upon truth. Justice and truth, just like I said, the whole idea of peace and joy, they kind of go together, don't they?
They do. And it's interesting, the prophets were spoken against because they spoke the truth during their time. And those who do today are often mocked and persecuted for doing so. But like you said, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We see that in John 14:6. But we are also told to speak the truth in love, something we see in Ephesians 4. So are we willing to do the hard thing, speak the truth, but also do it in a loving and compassionate way on the difficult issues of our time? And that could be something in your church, it could be something in your workplace. But it all starts with knowing the truth. And that's what we're talking about here today. We have to read it. We have to listen to it. I'll tell you one thing real quickly is that as a New Year's resolution this year, I decided I would start listening to the audio Bible more. And I'd done the New Testament before, but I decided to start with the Old Testament and listen to the whole thing. And it's interesting to me, there's a completely different dynamic when you listen to large amounts of scripture per day and let it go through your mind, go through your heart, go through your soul, and see how it influences you. So I would challenge you, maybe if you're one of those people who don't like to sit down and read a whole lot, just listen to the audio Bible. You can find it online in several places and just listen to it and see how it changes your thinking. And if you do that for 30 days, you will be transformed. I challenge you to let us know how that works in your own life if you give it a try.
You mean as a man thinks in his heart, that's what he is?
You nailed it. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to this again. We are receiving prayer requests and prayers today. 888-589-8840. If you have a Bible question, we'll do our best to work it in as well. So you can call now. Those lines are open. Verse 10, let me read it. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. There's that word again. For he has clothed me. There again, with the garments of salvation, he has covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Wow. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. It's Christ's righteousness. It starts with who he is and what he's come to do, and it ends with what he has done in our lives. He has changed us. He has, going back to the year of Jubilee, we're set free, aren't we, Dylan?
Yes, yes. And I hope those who are listening feel the same, that maybe you're thinking back to when the Lord first saved you and that joy that you had in your heart. Just want to encourage you to rekindle that and to refocus on that today. And also encourage you to call in and pray with us today, whether it's your prayer request or whether you want to offer a short prayer regarding a situation in your life or some of the situations we talked about earlier today in the program. So give us a call and let's give that number again so that they have that, if you would, Bert.
888-589-8840. Richard is ready to receive your call. It's that warm voice that he has. He's that way all the time. Just now, he really is. Now, again, make that call. Let's finish this up and notice what it says in verse 11. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before who? All the nations. Dylan, one thing that I really try to see in Scripture is the missional part. Okay, God is doing this. It's not restricted to all the brokenhearted, to all the captives, to those that are brokenhearted. And here it ends with all before all the nations. God loves the nations of the world, all the children of the world. They're precious in his sight. All the people are, aren't they?
Amen. And again, we see a connection with the Great Commission here, all the nations. That's where we're also to take the gospel to those who are the Jews, those who are the Gentiles, which include, you know, all of us who are non-Jews, and to the ends of the earth. So there's still so many who have yet to hear, but there are also those around us who have yet to hear. We need to be bold to live and to share the gospel wherever God has placed us, and be those who are salt and light to those around us. So we look forward to hearing more from you in just a moment. So stick with us here on Explore the Word.
We really are. And we thank God for what he's doing in our lives and in your life as well. And as again, the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth. Listen, only God can do that. Our own righteousness is self-righteousness. Our own praise is not sufficient. If we don't praise him, the rocks will even cry out. So we're here today. Not only do we want prayers, we would love to have prayer requests, but we'll also accept some praises, because every so often they'll call back and say, listen, you prayed for us, and listen to what God has done. So make that call, 888-589-8840, here on Exploring the Word, the Day of Prayer.
The AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
To Explore the Word, this is Dylan Burrows here with Bert Harper, and we are taking your prayer request. And joining us in prayer today are several people from around the nation, so we want to dive right into it. But if you haven't called today, the number again is 888-589-8840. Again, 888-589-8840. And Bert, who do we have to start off with our prayer time today?
Okay, we are ready to receive more phone calls as well. But while we're waiting on theirs, we're going to Arkansas, and it's Sean. Sean, thank you for calling.
Hey, good afternoon. How you guys doing?
Doing well. It's good to hear from you.
Well, Bert, I'm always listening to y'all's show for many years now. Appreciate and blessed by what you guys do. But, yeah, I've been praying for everybody in the Middle East, especially the people of the oppressed countries and those regimes over there, and also especially our troops and sailors. My boys over there following Dad's footsteps, joining the military and doing things over there in the Persian Gulf. And so just been in prayer for them and his young family, new family, and just peace for us back home. We see a lot of the news segments and all the things. It's just easy to get anxious and overwhelmed, and just knowing that God's in control. But be especially in prayer for families of those troops and sailors and all of our agents and government personnel and whatnot that are supporting this, and just protect them and let them turn to God if they're not already doing so, and give us peace back at home beyond that understanding. And then just for us to get closer with God through all of this.
Amen, brother. Thank you, brother. I'm telling you, Dylan wants you to pray in a minute, but I want to fill this in with what it was like families. During the Vietnam War, I was a high school student during that time, but my older brother, Dwayne, was in the Air Force, in the military, and he was shipped over Vietnam area. He was in Thailand. And my dad was a farmer, Dylan, and during that time, it was from sun up to sundown. But that year that my brother was over there, my dad would come in out of the field, and he would sit. Back then, we had a 30-minute news program. It was either Huntley and Brinkley Report or Walter Cronkite, and that was what we would receive. And my dad would come out because we would usually have there'd be one segment about the war in Vietnam, and families with their loved ones over there, it really does affect them back here, Dylan. So I just wanted to, I remember that like it was yesterday that we were doing that. So, Sean, we're going to be praying for your son and all those guys in the military, aren't we, Dylan?
Yes, and Sean, thanks so much for calling us with your prayer request. We want to pray for you and for your son and for all those serving in our military. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this caller, Sean, and we lift up his prayer request to you and ask for protection for his son specifically, who's serving in the Middle East. Pray for all those with him and for all of our U.S. armed forces who are serving in the Middle East and in harm's way today. I pray for our national leaders who are guiding those troops, that you'd be with them and give them wisdom. We also want to pray for those in Iran, especially Christian Iranians who are being persecuted, who are dealing with all that's happening around them, and that you would be with them in a special way too. And we continue to pray for all the families who are being impacted by this in America today, that you'd be with them and comfort them like Bert shared in his story, that you would give peace during these difficult times. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dylan. And Sean, thank you for calling. And we are sincerely praying. We've been praying for them and the families. That number, if you want to call, and lines are open, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you got a prayer request, you'd want to pray for them, or if you have a Bible question that Dylan and I could try to answer, we'll do our best. So next, let's go to Kansas. Well, see if you can open that. Mine's not opening. James in Kansas. Is yours open in Brent? Can you open that? Okay. James, are you there?
I am.
Okay. Yeah, I can now.
Welcome.
Yeah, go right ahead. You have a prayer request, brother?
Dylan, I do. Dylan and Bert, I've been a listener a long time, and I've been blessed by all three of you, especially you Bert and Alex, Bert, but I've enjoyed hearing the counsel that you give Dylan to. So my wife and I will have been married 25 years in August, but she has filed for divorce, and it's not a biblical grounds for divorce, and I am really hurting. I'm needing some encouragement. I guess any scriptures that you have to encourage me in the sowing of grace into a relationship, showing grace to someone else, going all the way back when we were dating, you know, 26, 27 years ago. She came from a family of multiple divorces. Her mother, I think, had been through three or four divorces. her dad was divorced twice, I think, and she'd been divorced. I was divorced, but I'd been single for 7 years to try to get a firm footing, you know, with the Lord before I even considered marrying again. And so in the dating process, I brought that up, you know, if we were to progress in our relationship, do you believe in a covenant marriage, and would divorce under, you know, whatever circumstances, I mean, other than biblical, you know, the three A's, abuse, I'm trying to remember them.
Adultery and abandonment.
Yeah, yeah. Adultery, abandonment. Yeah. And then some people consider addiction, you know, a fourth A. But none of those are the case here. And before I even finished the question, she was shaking her head no, and she was saying, no, I would never, you know, consider that. Well, so now I'm facing, I've been, you know, given divorce papers, and quite honestly, I believe, not to use words that start with G, but I think it's over greed of retirement assets. I showed her grace, you know, not holding divorce against from her heritage. My parents were married 53 years, and divorce was never an option right. for them. And so I'm just needing some encouragement and some verses that I can know that the Lord is going to, my Father, my Savior, is going to allow me to reap grace back that I showed to her, even though she's pursuing a divorce now.
Okay. So. Well, James, let me share this. I would not hesitate to read the book of Hosea and see how Hosea operated and loved her. And yes, sometimes, Dylan, you may want to say something as well, but you have to release to receive back. And I don't mean, okay, go away. I'm not talking about that time. But sometimes you have to release in order to receive, and you care and you love her. And listen, I would say this, demonstrate that. The scriptures that I would say is as long with Hosea, I would feast upon the book of John. I really would, anywhere and everywhere, because it really is, the whole book of John is about relationships that Jesus had with the woman at the well, with, you know, Nicodemus. And so, Dylan, what would you add to that, to James?
Yeah, I mean, first our hearts go out to you. This is a difficult situation, and we just want to encourage you that God is not done with you just because you're at a low point. Who knows what the future holds, but we do want to encourage you to do your part to continue to show Christ-like love and actions, regardless of what she does on her side. And that's one thing I always encourage people, is that you can control what you do. You can't control what the other person does. But on a practical side, you know, just like you would want to get legal assistance with legal matters like divorce, you also want to get spiritual guidance when you're dealing with the spiritual aspects of a marriage relationship that might be struggling. So if there's a way that the two of you are able to get together with a spiritual counselor or pastor of some kind, we definitely want to encourage that so that you're not alone, but have another voice to assist you. And then, like you shared, that God's word is there for you to help, as well as prayer, like we're going to pray today. But Bird, do you want to pray for this one?
I will. Let me give one more thing. There's a book, and it's written by Evelyn Christensen. She's with the Lord. It's a simple book. I tell you what, James, you cannot change your wife. But and the title of the book is Lord, Change Me. So don't be, I know you've given her grace. That's awesome. But don't be afraid to go to the Lord and say, Lord, let me see myself the way you see me in truth. And then, Lord, I want to change what I need to change about my life. It doesn't change you serving and loving her, showing her grace, but Lord, change me. So, Father, for James, I pray, God, that you would just put your loving arms around him, strengthen him. Thank you for the grace that he has shown. I pray he would continue to show grace. And Father, I pray that he would be strong in the power of your might. And Father, that again, he would look at himself and say, oh Lord, okay, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to go and I want to be what you want me to be. And Father, you're the one that will operate in her life as he, as James shows grace and mercy and life-changing events in his life. I pray for this wife, that she would come to herself the way the prodigal son did. I pray that she'd come to herself the way it was done with Gomer in the book of Hosea, Father. I pray that there would be people in her life that would show her a better way, that the marriage that she is in is the one that you desire for her to work. We're praying this and believing this in Jesus' name. Amen. James, we're praying, and you got a lot of folks all over America praying for you right now. Let's go to Oklahoma. Ronnie, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Bert, yesterday I was on a tractor, and I had to stop the tractor because I was so inspired by your show yesterday. That was the best show y'all have ever put on.
Amen.
And I was thinking that, you know, everybody needs to be inspired by someone. And what better if you guys could possibly get that little Iranian girl and President Trump together? Yeah. What a difference she'd make in his life.
I'll tell you what, Alex McFarland's got a lot of connections, I can tell you. So we're going to make that known to Alex. He's got a lot more than I do. And yeah, I want to tell you, he was talking about what happened. Brent, our producer, he came away saying that was the best show ever. And
I'm telling you, it was.
Amen. Amen. Jim.
Amen.
Thank you. Father, I pray that you'd just, Ronnie, Father, I pray you'd bless Ronnie and strengthen him. And Father, thank you for this young woman that loves you, and I pray for her family, protect her, them, and Father, may again this bring about that she, her testimony, what you're doing and what you have done in her life would reach others for your grace, even our president, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Ronnie, I appreciate that. Now we'll go to Jim. Jim from South Dakota. Thank you, Jim. Go right ahead.
Hey, it's for those that are walking with the Lord, but you feel far away, and you don't know why. I'm sorry for losing it, but it's me, and I don't understand. I need help.
Okay.
What do I do?
Okay. Jim, can we pray for you? Dylan, did you get enough? We can pray for Jim.
Yeah.
Go right ahead, man. For him. Yes, do that. Yes.
God, we thank you for Jim and his willingness to call and open his heart and just to be like we are in many situations. We don't know what to do but turn to you. And we ask you, Lord, that you would intervene in his life. You provide some guidance and wisdom at this time for whatever need he's going through, and pray for your presence to be strong in his life, just like we've talked about in Isaiah today. God, we know that you are all we need when you are all we have sometimes, and that we can overcome all things through Christ who gives us strength, but it still doesn't make it easy. And we pray for comfort for him today, and that you'd be with him in a special way, and that all of us who are listening right now would lift him up throughout the day so he would know that there are thousands and thousands of people praying and interceding for him before the throne of God, and knowing that he has the confidence of the Lord behind him in whatever he's going through. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for calling, Jim. We love people that are hurting, and we want you to know we love you and care. Let's go to South Carolina. Philip, thank you for calling today. Go right ahead.
Thank you, all gentlemen. My main prayer request right now is God gave me certain talents, and my specific job I have right now, I'm not using those talents. Not that I don't want to. They just doesn't call for them to be used. So my prayer is that God opens the doors for me to obtain another job. He knows what my needs are, and he knows what my wants are.
Okay.
So
he can bring those together, Philip, and we're going to be praying for that. Because, listen, God has made us with gifts and talents. So, Father, for Philip, I pray that you would lead him And Father, show him the direction he needs to go. And I pray you would bring it about. We trust you. And Father, that you care and you're observing. But Father, in your time, I pray that you would do that and get the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Dylan, thank you for being with us today, brother.
Hey, great to be with you as always. Thank you so much for all of you.
Amen. We're due to have Alex back tomorrow, and you be praying for him as he travels and speaks, a busy man. And we'll see you tomorrow on Exploring the Word as we start in Isaiah chapter 62.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.